Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
To you, and so Calvary Church is your church anywhere you go, and so today we're glad to be back. You know, I want to thank our team. They've been so quick to respond to the way that we do church, and so we're hoping that each week that your online experience will continue to improve and grow each week. As you've heard from Pastor Mark and Pastor Brad, both student ministry and kids ministry are now available online, and so if you go to our event page, you'll find their links and their videos that you can watch on demand anytime you like. And so it's very possible that in the future here, coming into Easter, that we'll be bringing Easter to your living room. And so we want to encourage you right now to begin to invite your friends the same way that you would when the church doors were open. And we sure do miss you here this morning. We want to encourage you to invite your friends to Easter, to Good Friday, and to Easter Sunday. Whether we're here or there online with you, we want to encourage people to come and to be a part of it. So anytime you see our social media, share that, get the word out, and invite your friends, invite your family to be a part of what's going on. And in the meantime, I want to just say this to our Calvary seniors, to those of you that may be in quarantine or isolated, maybe you're not feeling well during this time. This is a great opportunity that if you have any needs whatsoever, we really want to help you during this time. And so I would encourage you to reach out to your small group leader or even give the church a call during the week. And if you don't have a small group leader, then we can connect you with one. And if you just have practical needs that maybe you need somebody to stop by, say hello, or even just call and pray or to drop off some groceries, please let us know, because really that is what our small groups are there for, to bring that kind of support and strength to your lives. And for now, understand that staying in is what we're doing so that we can get back out there. And it may take a little bit of time, but be safe. Take care of your family. Do everything that you can. And I also want to thank those of you that give so regularly here at Calvary. Your financial support for the ministry of Calvary, both here in our community, our city, and around the world with missions, really keeps what we're doing going. And so I want to thank you for that. And so you can continue to give online or even drop by the church office during the week. Either way, it works. And can I ask you this? Can you pray for our first responders? Can you pray for those on the front lines keeping our city safe? I don't know about you, but I so appreciate the fact that they get up every morning and head out there, some of them putting themselves and their health at risk. So pray for our police services, our fire services, our paramedics, our healthcare professionals. They're there serving our city. And actually, even our grocery store clerk. Make sure you say thank you to them, because our the service chain that's there that keeps our community going, those people are still showing up each and every day. So tell them you appreciate them and continue to pray and believe for the best in their lives. Today, we're continuing with our Greater Than series. We're in episode 4. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about how God is greater than what we will ever face. He's greater than what we're facing right now. He's greater than our troubles. He's greater than our doubts. He's greater than the fears and the anxious feeling that sometimes we feel when we listen to the news. You know, these days, it's a steady diet on Twitter and on television. People are cooped up in their houses with the only thing to watch is sometimes all these press conferences. And it can get a little much. It can get overwhelming. And so we need to understand that God in our lives is greater than all of that, that he gives us a hope that overcomes all those things. True faith is not the absence of trouble, doubt, and fear. True faith is really the means to overcome all of those things and to see us through. Susan and I were recently at a great wedding, a wonderful wedding. This was a while back. And that was back when people got together in large groups. Do you remember? It's not that long ago. And we'll be back. But at the end of this wedding, the reception was happening. And so they had the bride and groom come down and sit in the front in two chairs that were backed up against one another. And then they took their shoe off, one shoe each, and they played what's called the shoe game. Some of you have seen this at weddings. And they asked the bride and groom, so that they can't see what one another's answers are, a series of questions. Who's more romantic? Who's better with money? Who gets up the earliest of the morning? And they would answer by raising the bride's shoe or the groom's shoe. And because they couldn't see, sometimes it was the same answer. Sometimes it was comically the different answer. But you know, the one question that I didn't hear them ask is, who's the biggest sinner? Who's the biggest sinner between the two of you? That gets a little awkward at a wedding, right? It'd be like me asking you today, who in your living room right now is the bigger sinner? Don't point at anybody, right? But the truth is, in many churches today, people don't talk a lot about sin because they don't want people to feel bad or to feel awkward. They want to encourage people and give them hope. And to a degree, that's a truth. We need to, in this day, be encouraged and filled with hope more than ever before. But if we fail to talk about our sin or the sin nature that's in our lives, we fail to address a very destructive force, a virus that infected the world many, many years ago. And so by watering down our understanding of this truth, sometimes we skip over something that people need to understand. Sin was the world's first pandemic. It was the thing that infected so many and continues to infect people today. Now, the good news is God has provided the vaccine, the cure for that virus. And when he sent his son Jesus into the world, he provided it. And yet, the only way to walk free of that virus is to receive that vaccine. And like a weapon, in our lives, it's something that we need to use to war against those things that come against us. But sometimes we treat Jesus like he's an accessory. Like we're playing a video game and it's like, oh, I can upgrade my shield and my weapon for my avatar. And then, bing, it happens. So instead of subtracting sin from our lives, we want to add Jesus in there with that whole mess. And yet Jesus is saying, I've come to deal with that for you. I've already taken care of it. But you need to receive that personal relationship in order to benefit from it. Sometimes we want revival in our hearts without repentance in our lives. And so we need to understand that spiritual maturity is not just how much we know about the Bible. It's not just how much we know about God. It's really about how much we obey him, about listening to his voice and then acting on it. And some people today, they call themselves believers and Christians, but they're educated way beyond their level of obedience sometimes. Have you done what he's called you to do? That's the challenge that we all face. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So it's time we get honest with ourselves. It's time we get honest with God when it comes to those unchecked things within our lives. So that if we're trying to live for Christ, we can't just park him on a day of the week and then live like we want to for the rest of the week. He wants you to be truthful and honest and pure for every day of the week. Not perfect, but those that are on that journey of seeing him become greater in our lives than the things within our lives, within our lives when we face sin. And so because the greater one, the one who's greater than the virus of sin, abides within us, he gives us that strength and that power that we need to overcome. And if you look back at the beginning of your Bible, from the beginning of creation, God was asking mankind for honesty. Not for perfection, but honesty. And I think when we look at Adam and Eve in the beginning, it was probably a little easier for them in that time because they hadn't yet disobeyed God. They had no secrets. They had no hidden agenda. They actually had no clothes. They didn't have a lot, but they had paradise. When it comes to walking with God, they weren't hiding from him until they ate from that tree and did what they were told they shouldn't do. And then everything changed. When they ate the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they immediately wanted to cover themselves up. They wanted to cover up that shame with those fig leaves. And so literally, they tried to cover themselves up. But figuratively, they tried to hide from God. And yet we know that we can't. We can never hide from him. And so Adam and Eve are not the only ones in Scripture. We see men and women that blew it, and then instead of dealing with their sin, instead of dealing with the unchecked things in their lives, they fled. They tried to hide. We look at David when he committed adultery by sleeping with Bathsheba. He tried to cover it up by having her husband killed. It's kind of like an Old Testament telenovela.
It's hard to believe that this was happening in the book that we cling to, but it's true. But then finally, with the help of God's prophet, Nathan, David came to his senses, he confessed his sin, and he repented before God. Psalm 51, 5-6 says, "For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom, even there, even in that state." Another version of Scripture translates honestly from the womb as truth in the inward parts, trying to reinforce this truth. So no matter how we express it, the requirement is still the same. God requires from you and I complete honesty, that we're just real. He knows that because he's given us a free will to choose, that we have a choice about how we're going to deal with those things within our life. And because he's a holy God and he's a God who's complete and absolute truth, he defines it. He desires that same truth from you and I. And so with our sinful nature activated by Adam and Eve's sin way back in the garden, we all tend to, even today, create our own fig leaves. We try to cover up our mistakes and our indiscretions. Sometimes we don't want to face the truth about what we've done and the impact that our selfish decisions sometimes have on other people. We don't want to own up to the consequences of our actions or face the things that happen because of it. Sometimes it's easier to hide from ourselves, to hide from other people, to hide from God himself, and to refuse to engage with the truth. But if we want to live a life that's filled with his life, then we need to step up and commit to living a life of truth. Jesus told his followers in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, he says, "You are my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will what? It will set you free." See, facing the truth is not always easy. It's not always a comfortable thing that we do. But the only way that we will grow closer to God, the only way that we will mature in our faith, is to speak and live by the truth. As Jesus said, it's the only way that we could be free from sin. So God exposes sin not to shame us, but to change us, to transform us. And the Bible says in no uncertain terms that we are, as Christ's followers, to live an overcoming life, not to be pushed down in this battle with the things that try to sink our ship. And the victory that we have shouldn't be by the skin of our teeth. It shouldn't be something that we just achieve. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors in Romans chapter 8, that God always leads us in triumph, as we see in 2 Corinthians. This is the call that we have. And even though I want to live a life that's pleasing to God and to do all that I can to walk in his ordered steps, the truth is, it can still be incredibly challenging. I don't know about you, but there's many things that I want to do that I don't always follow through on. And there's many things that I don't want to do that I end up doing. I want to read my Bible more, right? But it doesn't always happen. I want to stop touching my face, but I can't seem to stop touching my face. My wife will say, "Stop touching your face. Yeah, you gotta touch it." You know what? Sometimes I need to wash my hands more. If anything, when we come out of this, we are going to be the cleanest people on the planet. Let me tell you, I'm singing happy birthday. I'm singing whatever it takes. I've got clean hands. But even prayer, look at prayer. We know it's something that God has called us to do, to commune with him, to know him. And yet even when we set time aside, we don't always do it. Paul describes it like this, and I think it's an observation that we can all identify with. At least I can. Romans 7, 18 to 19 says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but sometimes I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but why do I do it anyways?" The struggle is very real. It's something that we can identify with. And you know what? Sometimes it seems like the virus of sin has permanently infected our lives and that we'll never have any victory over it. But if the greater one, the one who's greater than sin and its effects, abides within us, then he has given us the means to overcome with his power. the same way that he overcame when he walked the earth. As a matter of fact, quite often, the response of Jesus to the things he faced was the word of God. He spoke the word. So let me give you a few things straight from Scripture that will help us to overcome. Number one, Jesus tells us to overcome as I overcame. So Jesus says something incredible in Revelation 3:21. It says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." These words are so incredible, but sometimes they're very hard to grasp that can be us. But all Christ's followers believe that through Jesus' sacrifice, we are forgiven and we're reconciled. As a matter of fact, on Kids Online this morning, our children are learning about the power of forgiveness, that we can go to God, that we can ask for his forgiveness, and he is quick to forgive us because he's paid that price. But here we see Jesus saying that you and I, we can overcome as he overcame. So to discover how I can overcome that sin, I need to look at him. I need to look at how he did it, how he walked that out. If he's greater than my sin, if Jesus is my forerunner, my high priest, my incredible example, then I need to follow his life. I need to see how he did it. We can overcome as he overcame. Number two, not my will, but yours. Sometimes it's hard to wrestle with the things that we want in our lives. And yet Jesus gave us this incredible example that he came to the earth not to do his own thing, but to do what his Father had sent him to do. And when he came, he declared this in Hebrews 10:5-7. He said, "You have given me a body to do whose will? Your will, the will of the Father." And then similarly, we see him when he's facing probably the toughest time in his life at the end, when that weight was upon him, when he asked God, "If there's any other way to do this, please let me know." And yet sometimes that silence says everything we need to hear. Luke 22:42, his final response was, "Not my will, but yours be done." Now, the words "my will" in the context of human nature is really another word for the sin of the flesh, for the things that we've inherited in our lives. It covers everything from pride and impatience, selfishness, unrighteousness, irritation, laziness, and vanity, all the way through to complaining, to sexual immorality, to unbelief, to discouragement, to envy, greed, and to ingratitude. You know what? During these times of isolation, as you're at home and sometimes you're watching television or you have your computer, you need to guard your mind. Guard the things that you choose to find relief in during these times. Feed yourself the things that will cause you to grow in your faith and not pull you further away from God, so that you and I can say, "Not my will, but yours be done." And sometimes that means just closing that computer or walking away from a screen. Go out and sit on the deck, watch the sunshine. Spend time with those that you love. Don't do the things that are going to destroy you, because I guarantee you the enemy will try to take isolation and he will try to smother you to death, to try to pull the life right out of you. You know, the Apostle Paul experienced what we're similarly going through today. This was a man who knew all about isolation. As a matter of fact, he spent a lot of his life in prison or under house arrest. But he didn't let it stop him. You see, the gospel continues on. And so the Apostle Paul wrote letters. It was his live stream to the churches that he communicated with. More than half of the New Testament is there because this man found a way when there seemed like there was no way. And people would take this letter and they would go from house to house and they would read his encouraging words. And as he encouraged them, he also called them on things that were in their lives that God wanted to deal with. Again, not to shame them, but to change them, to make them more in his image. So for me to overcome as he overcame, I need to make the same decision every single day and faithfully stick to it, no matter what happens, no matter how I feel. Number three, tempted as we are, yet without sin. I love this. Jesus knows what it's like to be a human. And for me, that's massive. This whole understanding that, that he experienced the temptations that I faced gives me the strength to know that, man, I don't feel like I can make it through this temptation, but I know that he did, that he was tempted in every way. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way." You can circle that, you can underline that, in every way, just as we are. Yet, what does the Bible say? Yet, he did not sin. So before he left earth, Jesus promised his disciples, he promised you and I, that he would send the Holy Spirit, the great helper in our times of trouble, in our times of need. I don't know about you, but we're living in those days where we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in truth. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Does that sound like today? Do you have that need as you feel restricted at home, as you feel restricted in the way that you live your lives, that your freedom has been affected? I don't know about you, but I need him now more than ever before. And in a day of unprecedented trouble and fear, we need a supernatural solution. The church needs to rise up and pray like never before that God would help us, that God would intervene in our province, in our communities, in our nation, and in our world, that God would move. The church needs to pray because we were born for this day. We were born for this moment. And if I pray for help, if I pray as Jesus did, my Bible tells me that that's exactly what I will get. The supernatural greater than help that only he can deliver comes into my life and causes me to be an overcomer. And the Holy Spirit will show me the way to go. He will give us the grace to help us in our times of need. And maybe you feel all alone today. Maybe you feel just like you can't escape this situation. That's why I want to encourage you to connect with us online. We're moving our small groups to online groups so that you can connect with other people, pray with other people. Listen, the gospel cannot be stopped. This has not surprised the Lord, and he is still moving in our lives and in our church community. And then finally, the last one, the one that really excites me the most, that the Word of God is alive. It's not like reading the phone book. It's not like reading an encyclopedia or Wikipedia online. The Word of God is alive. We need to use God's Word like a weapon. As a matter of fact, the author of Hebrews says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Now, we don't use this Word as a weapon to harm the people around us. The Word of God is meant to be communicated in love. But we can use it as a weapon against the evil that tries to destroy us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is active and alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." God's word is the absolute truth. God's word is the vaccine for the deadly virus of sin, and a powerful weapon against it. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, again, never forget, his reply was the same every time. "It is written. It is written." He kept quoting the scripture, not just reading it as a mantra. He was living it. And so because he did, he had that authority to speak it. John 1:4 tells us, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace, full of truth." So Jesus can be described as the Word of God personified. His entire life was the fulfillment of God's Word and therefore God's will. And so when I read my Bible, I'm filling myself with wisdom. I'm filling myself with the things that I need to find my peace, and to be anchored to the one that can deliver on that peace. It's the weapon he's given me for the day that I'm living in. Listen to me. We need to look for the precedents in unprecedented times. Let me give you a few of them real quick. Number one, God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. God is with us, Joshua 1:9. God is for us, Romans 8:31. God is and does good, Psalm 119:68. God delivers. That's one we need today. God delivers, Psalm 34:4. God sustains. He will provide for you, Psalm 54:4. And God hears us, Psalm 66:19. God's word is the precedent in unprecedented times. It's the weapon that he's given me, that he's given you to use against all of the lies that the enemy would try to tell you as you're there in isolation. Jesus experienced the kind of isolation that you're going through right now, and he prevailed. And you will prevail as you cling to him. And living according to these precedents anchors my peace. It grounds me in what he's paid for, because the one who is greater than my sin abides deep within me. He abides deep within you. Would you bow your head with me wherever you are, and let's pray together. I want to pray that God would be with you in these times. Now I want to encourage you to trust him. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, I want you to know this: all is well. All is well. Allow that to sink deep into your spirit. That no matter what the news says, no matter what the reports are, when it comes to you and your soul, all is well. As your head is bowed, I pray, Lord Jesus, for every person in every home, on every device, that today as we gather for church online, that, Lord, we would know that you are greater than our trouble, greater than our doubts and our fear, that you are greater than our sin, that you have forgiven us, Lord, so that we could be transformed and walk in newness of life. I pray for those today that maybe do not know that. If that's you today, I want to pray this simple prayer with you to acknowledge that what Jesus did on the cross, he not only did it for the world, he did it for you. And if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on a cross for me. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be the hope that I need in these troubled times. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If that's you, on our website, I want you to click on Connect and let us know that you've prayed that prayer. We want to help you with resources that we can be a part of your life. Now I want to pray for all of you that are home with your families, that are trying to navigate the days that we're all going through together. And I want to pray for the peace of God, that you would know that the one who is greater than all the things that we will ever face still abides within you, and that all is well. Father, in Jesus' name, for every person, for every family, young and old, I pray for our safety, for our peace, for our protection, for the health of Almighty God to be with each one of us. And as a church community, we will stand and we will continue to believe the words that you've given us, the precedents in unprecedented times. Your word is life to our body and strength to our flesh. God, I pray that you would encourage everyone today that's tuning in, that they would know that in you is fullness of life. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, Calvary. We'll see you during the week in small groups as we meet online, and then as we gather again for church online next Sunday. God bless.